ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
So we're going to have a little fun this morning, and I'm also going to teach you how to distribute a Bhagavad Gita as it is to anyone at any time in any place, and I guarantee the results, or you can get your money back from today's seminar. Learning a template to sell Bhagavad Gita is highly effective. Does anyone feel confidence in how to present it? It's important to distribute the Bhagavad Gita because Krishna spoke it for the whole world. And in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells Sanatana Goswami that just by speaking the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, Krishna has saved the whole world. And those who make this book available to others become very dear to Krishna. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Natchitasman Manusheshu, Chinme Priyakritama. There's no one in the world more dear to me than the person who teaches Bhagavad Gita to the devotees. So, first, what I'm going to do before I go into some of the reasons and the legacy behind book distribution is I'm going to go to a very practical part of training, since our energy is high. We just started the morning. And I'm going to teach you the method for distributing the Bhagavad Gita. May I? Do you have the yellow Bhagavad Gitas available in some quantity?
Yes.
And if I could have one to start with right away before we distribute them. So, first I'm going to talk about the part that some people find difficult in distributing books, and that is asking for donation. Because why not just go give out free books here, there, and everywhere? Well, the reason is that when you give something for free, people don't appreciate it. Prabhupada used to tell the story of this boy who found the best mangoes in the world, and then he went door to door so excitedly because he wanted everyone to share in his good fortune, giving away free mangoes. And everyone looked at them and they said, "Oh no, what's wrong with them? Why are you giving them away free? No thank you, go away." So then he came back the second time and he started selling them for a very high price. And they would say, "Oh, rare, nice mangoes, I'll take three." And when people give something in return for or any scripture, which is a tradition. It's actually a tradition. When you receive spiritual knowledge, you're supposed to give dakshina. Everyone say dakshina. Dakshina. Some people say dakshin. That's a different word. Dakshina means giving something in return for knowledge that you receive from a teacher. So the great teachers of antiquity, and even up in the recent times, Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, have left behind them great treasury of transcendental literature. And so when somebody receives one of these, it's very helpful to them in their spiritual progress to offer something in return, either some monetary donation, which is the simplest means of reciprocation, because it's something that's measurable. It's also something that's widely accepted. We have some printed paper and some metal things with some insignias on them, so you can hand them over, and there's an agreed value to these things. In fact, in economics, they call money dollar votes. How many dollar votes do you have, and where are you spending it? That's where you're voting. Of course, people can give other things, too. They can give their time to look at it and their interest. Sometimes they don't have money to give, but they'll give their attention. And oftentimes, when I ask people for a donation, and they don't have money, and then they feel guilty about keeping the book, I said, "Please don't feel guilty. You gave your valuable time to listen to the presentation and to appreciate the book for a couple of minutes." And I said, "Time's more valuable than money anyway." And so I let them have the book for paying attention. But the point is, I saw in one organization that I was connected with for a while called the National Speakers Association, when when professional public speakers would give away a talk, they charge $5,000, $10,000 per talk. And oftentimes they would give away a talk to a nonprofit organization or something. But they wouldn't just give it away for free and not say anything about it, but they would do it for free, but then they would give the receipt for the $10,000 and they would say, waived, and they would give them the receipt, showing them that actually they just gave them a $10,000 gift. And the idea is that there was some acknowledgement of its value. However, if I simply go and hand out Bhagavad Gita's on a street corner for free to anybody walking by, the result will be that people won't respect it. And not only that, the person giving it out will, it will diminish the value of the literature itself for the person giving it away indiscriminately. Of course, there are some cases for passing out literatures, especially smaller ones, to people for free. Oftentimes in Ratha Yatra we do it, but Ratha Yatra is a special case, because during Ratha Yatra, according to the Nectar of Devotion, when people follow the parade or they participate in it by looking at it and appreciating, they're in a liberated state. And therefore, when they receive a literature, there's already a high degree of appreciation. So it's a conscious activity, and we want to make conscious contact with people. What do we want to do?
Conscious contact.
Okay, I'm glad. Yes, conscious contact. This is a good term. And so the donation part I'm going to deal with first, because that's what is a sticking point often for some people. But I'm going to teach you how to ask for a donation right now so that you'll never feel hesitant about asking. So you'll ask in a very straightforward way, which is very truthful and meaningful, and by which everyone you ask, after presenting them this mantra for asking for a donation, will give a donation. I guarantee it. You ready?
Yes.
I'm not convinced that you're actually
ready.
Yes. Okay, so here's a mantra that I use to ask for a donation for Bhagavad Gita or other books. And it's just one mantra. There are many, many different mantras, but I'm giving this as a template so you can carry it with you and use it wherever you go. And if it's useful for you, fine. And if you want to innovate later after you use this, then that's okay too. So when I give someone a book, at the end, I'm handing it back to them, and you'll see how this all fits together with the Bhagavad Gita. I say, we don't sell these like in a bookstore. We only ask for a donation. We don't need the money, but it's an ancient tradition. When you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, it connects you to the previous teachers who have passed it down over many generations and allows you to enter deeply within the knowledge. We don't sell it like in a bookstore. We just ask for a donation. We don't need the money. It's an ancient tradition. When you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, it connects you to the previous teachers who have passed it down over many generations and allows you to enter deeply within the knowledge. We don't sell it like in a bookstore. We only ask for a donation. We don't need the money, but it's an ancient tradition. When you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, it connects you to the previous teachers who have passed it down over many generations and allows you to enter deeply within the knowledge. We don't sell it like in a bookstore. We only ask for a donation. We don't need the money. It's an ancient tradition. When you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, it connects you to the previous teachers who have passed it down over many generations and allows you to enter deeply within the knowledge. We don't sell it like in a bookstore. We only ask for a donation. We don't need the money. When you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, it connects you to the previous teachers who have passed it down over many generations and allows you to enter deeply within that knowledge. Now please repeat after me. We don't sell it like in a bookstore.
Repeat.
We only ask for a donation.
We only ask for donation.
We don't need the money.
We don't need the money.
The only reason we ask.
The only reason we ask.
It's an ancient tradition.
It's an ancient tradition.
When you give something in return for spiritual knowledge.
When you give something in return for spiritual knowledge.
It connects you to the previous teachers.
It connects you to the previous teachers.
Who have passed it down over many generations.
Who have passed it down over many generations.
And allows you to enter deeply within the knowledge.
And allows you to enter deeply within the knowledge.
We don't sell it like in a bookstore.
We don't sell it like in a bookstore.
We just ask for a donation.
We just ask for a donation.
Now follow my mudras, my hand gestures. We don't need the money.
We don't need the money.
The only reason we ask.
The only reason we ask.
It's an ancient tradition.
It's an ancient tradition.
When you give something in return for spiritual knowledge.
When you give something in return for spiritual knowledge.
It connects you to the previous teachers.
It connects you to the previous teachers.
Who have passed it down over many generations.
Who have passed it down over many generations.
It allows you to enter deeply within the knowledge.
It allows you to enter deeply within the knowledge.
Okay, now Samrita, you do it back to me. But try to make a mistake or two, okay? We appreciate that. Okay, go ahead. Okay, hand it over to me when you say it. You don't sell it like anybody.
In a bookstore, we only ask for donation.
We don't need the money.
The only reason we ask. When you give something in return.
For spiritual knowledge.
For spiritual knowledge.
It connects you to the previous teachers.
It connects you to the previous teachers.
Who have passed it down over many generations.
Who have passed it down for many generations.
And allows you to enter deeply within.
We don't sell it in a bookstore.
Like in a bookstore.
Would like to try, but we insist you make a couple mistakes. Go ahead, be bold, just volunteer. Okay. I have no looking. We want you to make mistakes so that you can learn. You only learn by mistakes.
We don't sell it in the bookstore.
Like
in a bookstore. We just ask for donation. We don't need the money. If you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, it will help you connect to the previous teachers and who have passed it down over many generations and allow you to enter deeply within the spiritual room. We don't sell it like in a bookstore. We only ask for donation. Because it connects you to this.
We don't need the money.
The only reason we ask for donation because it connects you to the previous spiritual teachers who have passed it down to the different over many generations, and it allows you to enter deeply into the spiritual language.
Anyone?
don't sell it like in a bookstore. We only ask for a donation. We don't need the money. The only reason we ask is because it is an ancient tradition that if you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, it connects you to the previous teachers who passed this knowledge down for many generations and allows you to deeply connect with the knowledge.
Go ahead, be bold. Today.
We don't sell this like in a bookstore. We only ask for donation. We don't need the money. It's an ancient tradition that if you give something a donation, that the spiritual knowledge that is passed down from a tradition.
When you give something in return for spiritual knowledge.
When you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, the knowledge that is that helps you connect to the knowledge that has been passed down from generation to generation. And you can receive more benefit.
We don't sell it like in a bookstore. We only ask for a donation. We don't need the money. The only reason we ask for a donation is because it's an ancient tradition. When you give something for spiritual knowledge, it connects you to the previous teachers that have passed down the knowledge over the generations and allows you to enter deeply into the knowledge.
Yeah. Well done.
Is it my biggest hesitation to start book distribution because of asking for the donation?
Yes.
So I'll try my best if I can.
Okay.
We don't sell it like in a bookstore. We just ask for the donation. We don't need the money. The only reason we ask, because it's an ancient tradition, if you give something in return for scripture knowledge, it allows you to connect to previous teachers who passed down this knowledge throughout the generation, and allows you to enter into deep down of this knowledge. We don't send these like in a bookstore. We only ask for donations. We don't need the money. The only reason we ask for money is that it is an ancient tradition that when you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, it allows you to connect with the previous teachers that have passed the knowledge over the generations, and it allows you to deeply enter into this knowledge.
We don't sell these books like in a bookstore. We just ask for a donation. We don't need the money. The only reason we ask is it's actually ancient tradition. When you give something for spiritual knowledge, it connects you to the teachers who have passed down the knowledge through the ages and allows you to enter deeply in the knowledge. Whoa!
Now, the mudras are so helpful.
Yeah.
Mudras, okay. So maybe we can, I think there's a few more bridges we could add. So, we don't sell it like in a bookstore. We only ask for a donation. Do
Jim, you can help out with if any of these suggestions for mudras. We don't sell it like in a bookstore. We only ask for a donation. We don't need the money. The only reason we ask is when you give something, it's an ancient tradition. What's the mudra from ancient tradition?
Ancient tradition.
It's an ancient tradition. I already have this one for like spiritual teacher. Where's our Bharatanatyam dancers in mudra? It's an ancient tradition. What would you like? Mudra would you like to use for tradition? To point to the heart?
Well, that's the entering deeply into the
heart. That's entering deeply into the heart. It's an ancient tradition. And when you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, it connects you to the previous teachers who have passed down the knowledge over many generations and allows you to enter deeply within the knowledge. So this is tradition. Okay, somebody try it now. We'll help you with mudras as well. But this next one, we really would like somebody to make at least two mistakes. You did it beautifully the first time, so we're going to just get two more. So we feel. But what the next two people we'd like to do it are the people who are the most anxious about doing it. So if you feel more anxious than anybody about saying this line, then please volunteer, because we'd like to hear from those. Okay. Jenny, can pass the book back.
And the mic.
Sell these like in a bookstore. We just ask for a donation. We don't need the money. it's an ancient tradition.
The only reason we asked.
The only reason we asked is it's an ancient tradition.
This means when you give something in return. This would be a mudra. When you give something in return.
When you give something in return.
For spiritual knowledge.
For spiritual knowledge. You're connected with the previous teachers.
Who have passed it down.
Who have passed it down over many generations. And it enters deeply into your.
It allows you to enter deeply.
Allows you to enter deeply into your.
So that you feel very confident is through repetition. And the best kind of repetition is when you make mistakes. Mistakes are good. Everyone say mistakes are good.
Mistakes are good.
We like mistakes.
We like mistakes.
Bring on the mistakes.
Bring on the mistakes.
Every time you make mistakes and you have a template to go back to, then you're able to fill in the gap and readjust. And then you'll find everyone learns in different ways. It's not a matter of faster, slower, anything like that. It's a matter of everyone learns differently. And so whatever way you happen to learn, you need to have exposure, and you need to do it over and over again. And so let me show you another way to learn so that you don't feel intimidated. And that is, and this also helps for sankirtan. So sometimes people may feel afraid to go out and do sankirtan to sell books, right? Or to maybe in this assembly repeat the mantra in a practice session. And I'll show you a method right now so you can overcome all those fears and others that you may have in your life at any time. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. So I want you to take your hand and feel right in the back of your head, at the top of your neck. You didn't know it was there, but there's a little switch. And this body is a robot and has two modes. So one mode is the human mode, and the other one is a robot mode. And so you can flip the switch and you can become an automaton. You know what that is? It just when it acts automatically, it doesn't have any feelings. So you can switch off the human mode onto robot mode, and you become like a robot, and then you don't care what anybody thinks, and you just, all you do is you carry out your mission. Are you ready to flip the switch? Okay,
yes.
When I say three, flip it to robot mode. One, two, three, flip. Feel better?
Yeah.
You have no obligation to consider what other people are feeling about the way you do it, or carrying it out, or whether you get rejected or anything like that anymore. Doesn't that feel better now? So just when you go to do your duty, then when you come back to meet your spouse or friends or anything, like, switch on the other one. Okay, so one more, and then we're going to move on to the other points. So take this chance to try right here to do the mantra one time. Yes. Shri-la-ta.
Shri-la-ta.
Can you help her out with mantras?
We don't sell it like in a bookstore. We only ask for donation. We don't need the money. The only reason we ask for donation is it allows you to... It's an ancient tradition that it allows you to enter...
When you give something in return.
When you give something in return
for
spiritual knowledge, it allows you to connect to the previous teachers who have passed down this knowledge over many generations, and it allows you to enter deeply within the spiritual knowledge.
Okay, so now that you got the hard part out of the way, the rest is easy. Actually, the only hard part of book distribution is just walking out the door. Because there's a mental block. You think, once I go outside the door, then I don't know what to do, anything can happen. And part of the mental block is oftentimes we think that we have to perform to please somebody. But in our team, you don't have to consider that. Because we're only going out for self-purification. So we give extra points for failure. And there is no failure. Actually, what one considers like rejection or something like that, you get extra points for that, because as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, if you just go out and move about the world and try to make friends with people and interact with them in a way in which you intend to transfer some spiritual knowledge to them for their eternal benefit, then what you get is spiritual blood for your spiritual body. You have a chit sharira. Say chit sharira.
Chit sharira.
That's your spiritual body. And chidrakta, say chidrakta, means spiritual blood. So when you go out and somebody rejects you, or you're misunderstood, or you make a mistake, you get chidrakta for your chitsharira. You're actually putting blood into your spiritual body. So we're not going out to be perfect or to get some results. No one's expecting anything. We're just going out for self-purification. Because when you go out, you become stronger. And you feel free. The result, the only result we're looking for is that we feel that anxiety when we walk out the door, so that we pray to Krishna, please help me. And please show me how to do this. And if you go to that, then you've had complete success in book distribution. All the rest is completely extra. It doesn't, it's just something that we count up at the end so that we can manage our results. So, there are several steps to selling a Bhagavad Gita as it is. Now, in many companies that sell things, they use a flip book. And when you go through the book and you just show people the presentation page by page, at the end, they'll decide to take the product. So we have not only the flip book, but the product all in one. So all you need to do is just show them everything that's in or on this book, and then they'll take it. And with the mantra I just gave you, they'll also give you a donation in return. And after they do, you'll feel very connected with that person because you'll have completed a circle, okay? So here are a few steps, basic principles, and a template by which you can sell this Bhagavad Gita. Are you ready?
Yes.
Say yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. So the first thing is that when you go out to distribute books, you don't need to chase anybody. Let people come to you. And this is just like when you go to pick fruits from a tree. And say you go to a peach tree, right? And which fruits do you pick? The peaches. And what kind of peaches?
Ripe
peaches. What about the unripe peaches? So the unripe, I'll make a proposition, you tell me how I'm doing. The unripe peaches are on the vine. They're really stuck on there. So you grab onto them. They won't come off. So if they won't come off, then you try to pull them off as hard as you can. If they don't come off then you break the branch. And then you drag it down the street. How am I doing so far?
Not
any little feedback now?
I don't think that's very practical.
Not practical?
No.
Okay. So if I'm going the wrong way, you say, no, Vaisheshi, you're wrong, bad. Okay, so now I go to the tree, I look around, and I find the fruits that look nice and ripe on the tree. What do they look like on a peach tree? How are they different from the unripe fruits? Just the basic qualities of them. Soft, you can tell by the texture, right? Soft, okay, and?
Vibrant
color. So there's color, there's texture.
Smell.
Fragrance, you can smell.
Fragrance.
And? Taste, yeah, you could bite into one. Well, anyone say you've done no biting? Okay. And very easy. They come off in your hand practically. The ones that are really ripe, and you just get near the tree and they fall off and you have to catch them, right? Because like the other day, and I'll show you a little video. In a while, just 2 days ago, we were in Sankirtan in North Carolina, and I took the devotees out to this little strip mall, and the last store I came to, of course, there were favorable people all along the way, but this last one is an example of an extremely ripe fruit. I poked my head in this little restaurant, and the owner saw me, and he said, oh yeah, great, okay. I didn't even say anything. He just saw me, and I said, yeah, we're showing these books, and he said, yeah, I'll be right out, and he came right out. Left all his customers just hanging in there. And he came up to talk to us, and he was so enthusiastic. And I just showed him the book, and actually, you'll see from the video that I'll show you that my presentation was superfluous. He had already decided whatever we had, it was fine with him, and he was totally into it. So that's an extremely ripe fruit. He like fell off in our hands before I could even say anything. I mean, I could have said nothing at all. I could have said the wrong thing and he still would have taken the book. That's a ripe fruit. Falls off your head. And then there are others that just take just a little nudge and then they'll come off and they're ripe enough. Right? And then there are others that are not ripe fruits. Guess what? You're not obligated to pick them. In fact, you're enjoined by the scripture to not pick them. Let them ripen on the vine. That's not your duty to try to ripen up fruits that are not ripe yet. So does that make you feel better? So we're not going out to convince people as much as we're going out to select. So selection is a lot easier. And if you just let a bunch of people go because you weren't able to make a conscious connection with them and you weren't able to ascertain that they were a ripe fruit or not, that's perfectly fine. Just let the ones go. So when you're approaching people, you want to be as cool as a cucumber in an icebox. That means you're leaning back. You're not chasing anybody, you're not trying to pull anybody off the vine, and your body language is like this. So hang out like this for a second. See, now I don't have the book in my hand, right? I'm not like, where's the next person? I'm gonna skewer them with a book. People see you come down the street like this, and then they'll cross the street before they get to you. So you just want to hang back and think, let them come to me. If they're fortunate, they'll come to me. And I'll present what I've been asked to present. And if they're not, then that's okay too. Krishna will make them fortunate in the future. Because it's not our duty to chase after people, or try to convince people that aren't readily interested. Okay, that's nice, isn't it? Okay, so what's a way to find out if someone's a ripe fruit or not? How are you going to tell if people are just walking around randomly in the world? Well, here's a secret. You have a built-in radar system in your own body. Because you're living entities, you have mystic cities. All living entities have mystic cities because we're part of Krishna, who's Yogeshwara, Yogeshwara. He's the supreme mystic. You also have the same kinds of cities, and they're all available through the practice of bhakti. So here's one that's readily available to you right now, and I'm going to teach it to you. And when you unleash this, you're going to find a whole new life out there in book distribution from using this mystic city. So it involves your hand, and it also activates, you're going to activate the mystic city by a mantra I'm going to teach you, and then you're going to be able to ascertain who's a ripe fruit and who's an unripe fruit from a distance. Even as far away as 2 blocks, you'll be able to tell. Okay? From this mystic city. So now, would you like to try it?
Yes.
Okay, hold up your hand. There's a beam that's going to come out from your hand, and much like the people that you see are guardians who park their cars in black and white cars along the side of the road, and then they come out with a little radar gun. Do you know who I'm talking about? And they shoot your car with a little radar. It hits your car. It comes back to their box, and it tells them how fast you're going. It's radar. This is your radar right here. Okay. Now point it at somebody. Not at me. I can't handle all the rays. And when I give you a mantra, repeat it, and then I want you to carefully notice the person you shot with your radar and what their reaction is, and then you're going to report it back. Okay, are you ready?
Yes.
1, 2, 3. Hi.
Hi.
Okay, you have a report?
I was just messing.
No, tell me, what's the report? What did you see when you shot her with your radar?
When I shot her?
Yeah.
I saw a very friendly face.
There you go, ripe fruit or unripe fruit?
I would say that was right.
And I think you'll find out throughout this whole room, because we're in a relaxed atmosphere, we know each other. We're all open, right? And did anybody get a similar result? Yes. Anybody else? Did anybody else get a frown?
She was a little
unright. So you got a joke frown back. And how could you tell that it was a joke frown? Yeah, but the fact is, you can tell that. I mean, this is an amazing thing that you could actually say, it was a frown, but she was joking. That's something that you can tell. This is a conscious awareness of where you can look at people and you can look at their eyes, you can look at their countenance, and you can understand what their consciousness is, because the face and the eyes are the index of the mind and the heart. So you can actually see something in people. So this is what you want to be aware of when you're out in the environment, is you're looking, and you're watching, and you're making a very gentle, conscious, socially acceptable contact with another living entity just by holding up your hand like this and saying hi. And if you don't do anything else today, you can just practice this and just see what happens. Because if it's too far out of your comfort zone to talk to them afterwards, at least you take this first step and just experiment with consciousness and see what happens. You just say, hi. 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 Okay, so that's the first step. Use your radar. Now, I'm going to teach you another socially acceptable way to make a conscious contact that's a little more visceral with people, and which is amazingly effective. And you might want to try this out when you're out on book distribution today. Okay. Okay, turn to somebody near you and give them a fist bump.
Really?
Come on, everyone. There you go. So this is another kind of conscious contact that you make with people. And it's perfectly socially acceptable, and there's not much commitment to it. It's not like this. I was like, I don't know about that. But this, boom. You make and it's a very friendly way to make a conscious contact. Okay, so the first step is radar. And the second step is to ask a qualifying question. Because people don't know why you're handing them something, and when they don't know why, their mind turns off and they say no. So here's an open question you can ask the people to qualify them to have a book in their hand. I'm from California. Where are you from? India. I love India. Great. Here, this is from California to India. Okay. So watch it again. I'm from California. Where are you from? Maryland. I love Maryland. Great. I'll show you one too. From California to Maryland. Okay, everyone try that. Turn to somebody next to you and say, I'm from such and such a place. Where are you from? And when they say where they're from, then say, great. Here, I'll show you one too. On your mark, get set, go. So the next one, this is a qualification. So you ask them, tell them where you're from, identify your place, and then ask them where they're from. And when they answer, your body language is, oh, fantastic, great, I'll show you one. Then say show. Show. Say show.
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 Show is a very innocuous word. It doesn't mean anything, but we're just showing you something. We're not selling. We're not giving. We're not passing out. We are?
Showing.
Yeah, we're showing. Show is a very good word. Okay, so now I'm going to teach you another mantra. Are you ready for another mantra?
Yes.
Okay, here's the next mantra. And that is when I'm handing the book over, in midair I'm saying my mantra, and I'll say it. And then you can listen the first couple of times, and then we'll have you repeat it. Books on yoga and meditation that show you how to get free from stress.
Books on yoga and meditation that show you how to get free from stress.
Books on yoga and meditation that show you how to get free from stress.
Books on yoga and meditation that show you how to get free from stress.
And watch the arc as I'm passing the book. Books on yoga and meditation that show you how to get free from stress.
Books on yoga and meditation that show you how to get free from stress.
Okay, turn to somebody next to you and tell them the mantra, and then tell them the other person tell back. On your mark, get set, go. Okay, good. Now, the next principle is that the question mark is the most powerful punctuation mark in any language. What's the most powerful punctuation mark in any language? Yeah, because a question mark, make a question mark, is a hook. And with a hook, you can pull things in the direction you want to go. And so, if you're whoever's asking questions is leading the conversation. Therefore, you don't want to tell, you want to ask. You have to become a master asker. What do you want to become?
Master asker.
A master asker. So, the next point, you need question marks throughout your presentation in order to hold it all together and keep the conversation going the right way. So some people sometimes think, they say that I'm presenting it, but then the other person takes it in an opposite direction. So how do you keep it going in the right direction? Question. You have to use your hook. And the other thing that a question mark is a tennis racket. It can hit that person's question right back to them, or whatever statement they make if you answer a question with a question. And that's something I'll talk about later. Okay, so I've handed the book over. I say, books on yoga and meditation that show you how to get free from stress, making a conscious connection here with somebody. And now I'm going to ask a question. You've heard of stress, right?
Yes.
Okay, ask somebody to put next to you if they've heard of stress. You've heard of stress, Palmo, right?
Yes.
Have you all heard of stress? You know, it's a colloquial way of saying it. Okay, so what do people say? They say yes. What if they say no? What if they say no? I haven't heard of stress. I'm not stressed at all. It's okay. It doesn't matter either way, because the next part of the presentation accounts for that. So I'll ask somebody, you've heard of stress, right?
Yes.
Really, because you don't look stressed to me. You look very peaceful. In fact, your eyes look spiritual. Now say, no, I'm not stressed. You've heard of stress, right?
No.
I know I can tell by looking at you, you don't look stressed at all. Your eyes are very peaceful. They look spiritual. Now, if you walk out of your a door in the morning and you meet your neighbor, and your neighbor comes up to you and says, you look terrible today. How do you feel? How do you feel? Terrible. Somebody walks up to you, a friend, devotee at the temple, comes up and goes, you really look tired. How do you feel?
Tired.
Somebody walks up to you and goes, you look fantastic. How do you feel?
Fantastic.
I didn't know that. If someone looks at you and says, you look spiritual, how do you feel?
Spiritual.
It's amazing, actually. So when you ask a person they heard stress and they say, yeah, most people say I'm stressed, some people say I'm not stressed, doesn't matter either way, you say, are you directing traffic? That you say, you've heard of stress, you don't look stressed to me, you look very peaceful, in fact, you look spiritual. When you say you look spiritual, it's a very nice way to connect with people, because one thing is, they are spiritual. Every living entity is a spirit soul, and the consciousness of that spirit soul is coming right out of their eyes. It's evidence because they're animated, they're moving around. And it actually brings the whole conversation to a spiritual level when you just simply notice the fact that they look spiritual. And they'll start appreciating it themselves, and you'll see how this works when you say to somebody, yeah, you don't look stressed. Actually, you look spiritual. So then, here comes the big question. Another question, because we are?
Master askers.
So the next question we ask, what's your secret? Say it.
What's your secret?
Turn to somebody and ask them what's your secret. What's your secret?
What's your secret?
Now, the reason this is a very important question, because there is a way in which when you're out distributing books, people may think there may be a subtle feeling that, this person is actually imposing their will upon me by giving me information, because the implication is they want me to change my life in a certain way. And oftentimes living entities have the feeling that I'm good enough already. Why do I need to change? And so when you ask somebody what their secret is, you change your relationship. Rather than you being somebody who's coming to teach them, to condescend, what you're doing is you're saying, oh, you teach me. You're a spiritual person. You teach me something. Tell me what your secret is. And so what kind of secrets will people tell you?
Yoga.
Some people say yoga. Some people say prayer. Other people say think, mode of passion, ignorance.
Coffee,
pot, alcohol. I mean, some people say, yeah, I drink a lot. Exercise. Depends what, and sometimes people say, I don't have a secret, then you have to offer them one. And say, oh, you must come from a good family. And then I've had people say, no, I don't. And then you say, you must just be a natural. So if people don't offer you their secret, and oftentimes, most of the time, 85% of the time, they'll tell you some secret. They'll just say, well, I just like to, you know, look at life positively. I have a good outlook on life. And then the reaction is that, I knew you were into this. Like, you don't have to say that, but your bodily reaction is fantastic. I could tell, you know, that you knew about this, that you're on a spiritual level. It confirms what you said, that they look spiritual and they give you their secret. So now you'll notice that I'm gonna do the presentation up to that point, and then I can continue from there. Okay. Hi, California. Where are you from? India, I love India, fantastic. Here, I'll show you one too. Books on yoga and meditation that show you how to get free from stress. You've heard of stress, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you don't look stressed. You look very peaceful. In fact, your eyes look spiritual. What's your secret?
Nothing.
You must just be a natural. Here, I'll show you really quick. Now, here's the next part of the presentation, and you'll notice that I handed the book over. She was holding the book. After she told me her secret, I said, Here, I'm going to show you really quick. How fast am I going to show you?
Really quick.
How fast?
Really quick.
How fast?
Really quick.
How fast?
Really quick.
Yeah, because in the mind is always moving very quickly, especially these days, and thinking, how long is this going to take? And how long is it going to take? It's going to be really quick. Okay, now here it is. Here's the presentation. Keshua, watch. Here it goes. Thoreau, Emerson, Gandhi. Those three are on the back of the book. These are just throwing names out there because sometimes, most of the time, people don't know what the Bhagavad Gita is. And so you're adding credibility from people who read the Bhagavad Gita. And so here it is. Thoreau, Emerson, Gandhi. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Albert Einstein. The Beatles. Tupac Shakur. They all read this book. Now I open the book to the Sanskrit and I show them the Sanskrit and I say, here, can you read that? I was just testing you. It's all translated into English, and out of all the translations in the world, this has become very popular academically. Have you heard of USC? Say yes. Have you heard of Georgetown University? Yeah, you have. And now, here it is in a nutshell. We start here. We end up here, we're just passing through. Life's like a quick journey. Where are you in this? Let the record show that she said right here. And now, the next page has a picture of a self-realized soul. They say, look, this is self-realized soul. Self-realized soul treats everyone with respect because he or she sees there's a spirit in everyone's heart. You've heard of karma, right? Yeah, you. And what does it mean to you? If you do something bad, you get something bad back. Okay, now watch my reaction. I say, whoa. I really like the way you put things. If more people in the world thought like you, it would be a better world to live in. So ask me if I've heard of karma. Yes? You know, there's rabbits and spiders and rainbows and stuff like that in the world. I really like the way you put things. If more people in the world thought like you, it would be a better world to live in. Now, what I presented after the point of asking what their secret is, I've showed them the back cover, and I mentioned some names. What are the names? Thoreau, Emerson, Gandhi, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Albert Einstein, the Beatles, and Tupac Shakur. And then I turn to the middle and I say, "This is. Can you read this? Show them the Sanskrit. And then, can you read this? You all say,
no.
The other day we met some guy loading furniture in his car. Can you read that? He goes, oh yeah, Sanskrit. Right? Yeah, and I was just testing you. It's all translated into English. Out of all the translations, this has become the most popular academically. And then show them a couple of universities. On the front page, you'll find USC. Second page, you'll find Georgetown University. And then show them the pictures. First picture is changing bodies. And you say this, repeat after me. We all start here.
We all start here.
We end up here.
We end up here.
We're just passing through.
We're just passing through.
Life's a quick journey.
Life's a quick journey.
Where are you in all this?
Where are you in all this?
She said here. Okay? The next page shows a self-realized soul. It says, self-realized soul treats everyone with respect. Because he or she sees the spirit in everyone's heart.
You've heard of karma, right?
What does it mean to you?
Oh,
you know, rabbits and spiders and rainbows. And you say,
whoa! I like the way you like the way you put things.
If
more people in the world thought like you, it would be a better place.
Okay, now comes the finishing. You already know how to ask for donation, right?
Yes.
Say yes.
Yes.
Okay, so before you ask for donation, you need a little humor. Before you ask for donations, you always have to make a joke. Right? That's the rule. And if they laugh,
then they have to give a donation. So now, ask them, what do you do professionally? Make something up. What do you do professionally? A dance. You're a dancer? What kind of dance? Odissi dance. Okay, look at this guy used to be an Odissi dancer. Now, what do you do professionally? Yeah.
I'm a software developer.
What kind of software?
Systems, payment systems.
Payment. Look at this guy used to do payment systems. Now, 50% of the people, when you tell them that, they'll laugh. They say ha 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 really loud, and the other 50% say really. And then they say, no, not really. And then they say, ha, 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 really loud. And then when they're saying, ha, 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 really loud, you close the book like this, boom. And then you say, ha, ha, ha. We don't sell it like
in a bookstore. We only ask for a donation. We don't need the money. It's a major tradition. That when you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, it connects you to the previous who have passed it down over many generations and allows you to enter deeply
in the knowledge. And then they'll give you donation after that presentation, I guarantee it. So then, right after they give a donation, and by the way, for donations, here's a couple of tips. As people don't know how much to give, you can tell them about how much it costs us to print, and then you can tell them that's how much it costs, and then you can say anything you give over that is a donation. So for instance, you could say, it costs us for printing and shipping and storage for about $10, anything over that is a donation. That's pretty accurate. And then they can give what they like. Or you don't have to tell them anything, you say just give whatever you wish. And then they'll give a donation, or they'll say what? I don't have any money, and is that true?
No.
No, it's not true. Okay, so then what do?
We
take out the credit card.
Then you say, they say, I don't have any money. I say, perfect, we don't take cash. We only take MasterCard, Visa, American Express, Diamond. And you take out your credit card machine, and Loka, do we have a credit card machine here?
Square.
We have Square, yes, it's available. So lots of people give on the Square. So sometimes people say, I don't have any money, because they don't know how much it is. So you can just say, look, it, just give whatever you like. Anything's okay. You say, I really don't have any money, then I say, just give a penny. They say, penny? And then they'll give $5 or $10 or $20 when you ask for a penny. Because then they realize that you're seriously offering it to them for a donation in return. And there's a couple of funny things that you can say. Once they decide they're going to give a donation, and they go to give the donation, then you can say, we try to keep it under 100, but in your case, we're thinking about making an exception. So oftentimes people will say, we'll just give a penny, and they'll say, okay, I can give something, and they start digging through, and I say, I'll give you change if you just have hundreds. I can break one for you. Okay, so now, let the record show that some really just gave me $20. Thank you very much. And then I say, do you believe in the power of prayer? Say that. Yeah, and 86.2% of the people say, yes, I believe in the power of prayer. What about the other percentage that
don't? I believe in God.
And then you say, perfect, I'll give you a mantra. So then we have cards. Do we have cards here?
Yes.
May I have one? And then we say, wait, I'm going to teach you this prayer. It comes from Sanskrit. It's meant to wake up pure love for God within the heart. And it's a little hard to pronounce. I'm going to say it once, and you can repeat. Are you ready? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Fantastic. You're a natural. And then we give a prasadam. Do we have some prasadam to give right now? Someone give me. That was it? You have a lollipop?
Yes.
Okay. So let the record show that there is not one living entity in the universe that doesn't like the lollipop. We find that it's a
a delight to the senses to see a little piece of candy on a stick. Okay. Yeah. That's for you, Samriddhi, for being so kind. So we give them prasadam at the end as an appreciation for them taking their valuable time. And then we say to them that we thank you for taking your valuable time. It was really an honor to meet you. Thank you very, very much. And if the person's very favorable, we take down their information and we give them our information so that we can stay in touch with them. Okay, so I'm going to do it one time all the way through. And then what we're going to do is we're going to stand up and we're going to face each other, one person with one other person. And you're going to practice handing over the book one time and giving the whole mantra. Does anybody have any questions before I do it? Okay, so I'm ready. Well, why don't you sit over here? Can you hold it? Hi. California, where are you from? India. I love India. Here, from California to India, I'll show you one too. Books on yoga and meditation that show you how to get free from stress. You heard of stress, right? Yeah, because you don't look stressed. You look very peaceful. In fact, you look spiritual. What's your secret? Nothing. You must just be a natural. Well, here, I'll show you really quick. Thoreau, Emerson, Gandhi, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Albert Einstein, the Beatles, Tupac Shakur, they all read this book. And it's written in Sanskrit. Can you read that? I'm just testing. It's translated into English. And there have been many translations, but out of all of them, this has become very popular academically. You know USC? Georgetown University? Yeah? Here it is in a nutshell. We start here. We end up here. We're just passing through. Where are you in all this? Here? Here. Okay, good. I'm over here. I was here 5 minutes ago. And look, here's a self-realized person. A self-realized person treats everyone with respect because he or she sees there's God within everyone's heart. You've heard of karma, right? What does it mean to you? Whoa, I really like the way you put things. If more people in the world thought like you, it would be a better world to live in. What do you do professionally? Singer. Look it. This guy used to be a singer. We don't sell it like in a bookstore. We only ask for a donation. We don't need the money. It's an ancient tradition. When you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, it connects you to the previous teachers who have passed it down over many generations and allows you to enter deeply within the knowledge. It costs us, with printing and shipping, about $10, and anything you give over that is a donation. Well, you don't have money. We take MasterCard Visa. Well, just give, keep the book then as a gift. Just give something small. Thank you very much. Let the record show she just gave $20 a week. Do you believe in the power of prayer? Here, I'll teach you this prayer from Sanskrit. It's a beautiful prayer with God's names, and it's meant to wake up love for God in your heart. I'll say it once, then you can repeat, so you know how to do it. Are you ready? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Did she chant?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Now? Thank you for being so kind. It's been an honor meeting you. Thank you for taking your valuable time. And we have regular classes on Bhagavad Gita, and if you'd like to come, you can just sign on this little, I'll put your address or your email here and we'll send you an invitation. Would you like to do that? Okay, let the record show she signed up for the Friday night Bhagavad Gita class. Thank you very much. Give her a hand. Okay, now we have a logistical challenge, opportunity. So that means we're going to stand up and we're going to find a partner and
Best if you get into rows. Loke, are you here?
Yes, sir.
He wants to go downstairs?
Yeah, some people can go down and some
people can go down. Okay. Do we divide up?
Yeah.
Okay, so some of us will go downstairs, like half the room, let's say, from here over, go downstairs, and we'll equip you with the Bhagavad Gita, and you can practice in peace down there. And up here, we'll have plenty of room for everybody else to stand up. Best if you can make a couple of rows. Are you ready? Okay, here we go. So please come in, have a seat, we'll finish up. How'd it go?
Good.
Good. Anybody have any questions? Yes.
When you say that, I'm from India, I just, if you're from America, and you know, you're saying I'm finishing the spirit, it sounds more like a casual question, but when I say I'm from India, it just seems to me that, like, you know, because of all the, you know, tension going on in the world, and, you know, people coming from different countries, that he's being treated differently. So it just sounds like a bit, I'm just wondering, do you have any other questions, or do you think it's like,
just say wherever you'd like to say you're from. I'm from Beverly Hills. Where are you from? I mean, you know, wherever you're from. Where do you live?
I live in Maryland.
You live in Maryland?
Yeah.
Which part of Maryland?
Germantown.
I'm from Germantown. Where are you from? That's good. It's fine. It doesn't really matter. And whatever you're comfortable with is ask in telling where you're from. What else, what other questions do you have? An answer to some, yes?
Is there a sequence? Because that's what I say, I get mixed up in the sequence of the presentation.
Yes, there's a sequence.
Is it written somewhere?
Yes. I have a video and I'm going to give you the link so you can watch it on your phone. It goes through, I do step by step, I tell each one of the steps. It's about a 7-minute video that explains it. Also shows a few live action shots while I'm distributing, so you can get a hang of it. And we also will give you a link to, we may not get it to you today, the link to a card that has the various steps on it.
Yeah.
Other questions? Yes.
If someone cuts you in between, you get nervous.
First of all, stay as cool as a cucumber in an ice box. And cuts you in the middle means what?
Like, they started nicely, and when you are showing the list of universities and who recommend this book.
Huh? And then?
And then they said, okay, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine, and hands the book back?
Yeah.
Okay, if somebody hands the book back, take it back. So you just go with the flow. You don't have to convince anyone. You can't make people take something that they don't want, right? So if somebody hands you the book back, immediately accept it back, because that way they'll remain satisfied, but then you can hand them a different book.
Okay,
so if somebody hands me back the Bhagavad Gita, then I just hand them a Sri Upanishad. And they'll take that, but they won't take the Gita back, because they already rejected it, and it's an insult. So a basic principle is to honor objections. If somebody objects to something, you honor their objection. So they say, I'm a Buddhist, I won't read this. I say, oh, beautiful, you're a Buddhist. Okay, fantastic. Take the book back and give them another book. Say, here, you'll like this one. Because Buddha taught that the body is like, it's like a house. And, you know, we're residents within a house. Put it in their framework that they can appreciate. Say, another question? Yes.
Like we sometimes say a penny to $1 million for donation. We're asking for donation. So is it not a good idea, or like depends on the mood?
A penny to $1 million?
Like whenever you are
asking for a donation. Well, as I mentioned before, there's different ways to ask for donation depending on your taste, and you can experiment. And I encourage you to experiment different ways. Don't feel, we have plenty of books, we have plenty of money, so don't worry about it. We're not out there to make money. It's not a big deal. The Lakshmi comes when you serve Krishna. And the more you serve Krishna by distributing books, the more the Lakshmi will pour in. It'll be a problem for you. There's so much Lakshmi, you won't be able to count it fast enough. And you won't be able to give the books out fast enough because the Lakshmi will come in. We have that problem at ISKCON Silicon Valley. We have so much money, we don't know what to do with it. Somebody should probably help us out.
So, and that's a result of us being very proactive in distributing books and just making sure that people get these books in different places. And so you don't have to worry about it too much, but you can, you can refine the way you ask for donations so that people feel encouraged to give more. A lot, I don't say an amount. And you'll notice, like the other day when we were going from one place to the next down the strip mall, like one place, the first lady, she gave me like 12 cents. I gave her a Gita. And the next place, I didn't give anything. And I think the devotees were watching going like, what's this guy doing, you know? And the next place, I didn't say anything. The guy gave me 20. And then we went to, the day before, it was a similar scenario. In the last place, I didn't say anything. The lady gave me 40. Because I just made the presentation and I leave it up to them how much they want to give. But you can't say certain things, like I said, and we try to keep it under 100, but in your case, we're thinking about making an exception. Just funny things while they're while they're digging for the donation. But don't worry about it. It's not a big thing of concern. You can just relax. You're just out there to really make a conscious connection with people, and don't worry about the results so much. The result, you've already done the yajna by walking out the door. After that, everything that you do is fine by Krishna. And everything's going to come out all right. So don't worry about performing or doing anything. Just swim in the realization that you're part of Lord Chaitanya's movement. And you're on the front line. You're doing something that Srila Prabhupada really loved. And that's good enough. And anything, any results that come after that, Lord Chaitanya will make available to you. And in the meantime, you can just feel free to practice with people. So don't feel that you have to get some result in any way. You don't have to prove yourself. You're good enough. You're humans. Krishna likes humans. They're his favorite species. Did you know that? Out of the 8,400,000 species, Krishna says to Uddhava in the 11th canto, humans are my favorite. Because they're, and not only, so now you're already a favorite human, even if you're just a rascal. But what's to speak of, then if you try to do work for Krishna by distributing his books, how much do you think he likes you? So remember that when you're out there. Just have love in your heart. Appreciate the fact that Krishna loves you. And then just try to love other people and they'll love you back. That's all it is. It's a really simple thing. And all these techniques is just to help frame something in your mind so your mind doesn't freak out and say, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to say. Just follow the script. Don't make anything up. Just follow the script and I promise you it'll work. Okay? What else? Yes?
And as you said, we don't chase people.
Yes.
We just show it. But when we have a book table, there's two persons behind the table, but number of times there are many volunteers and his stature and me. Sometimes we have to chase people. So is it a good idea or we stay behind the table all the time?
You have to, in general, what I meant was the principle is that you should learn how to attract people to you. But if you see it's a necessity to facilitate serving somebody by going to them, then you can do that. It's just the mood of looking for the right fruits and inviting people to come. Actually, for many years, I was behind a table at the San Francisco airport, and it was a regulation that I couldn't go back from, I couldn't go beyond the table. So then I got a realization after so many years that I didn't have to. There was such a way, you can conduct yourself in such a way that you can attract people to come over without actually going to them. Although, when necessary, when you see that it helps the helps you to do so, then you can go to them. What else? Okay, yes, Loka?
Many times people say, when you go to the book, they say, I'm good. So
when they say, I'm good, then you say, yeah, but it can always be better, right? Or, we honor that objection, they say, I'm good, and I say, I know you're good, I can tell by looking at you. That's why I picked you. So oftentimes people say that, like, you know, I'm this, I'm that, and I say, I know, I can tell by looking at you. Like sometimes people say, you know, I already give donations, I say, I can tell by looking at you, that's why I picked you out. So it's kind of like you honor the objection, you honor what they just said instead of trying to argue with it. And it's like, I know, I appreciate that. I'm good, I know you're good. You look good too. And that's why I stopped you in the first place. I could tell. So here, take a look at this. It's like that. Yes?
Did they say, I read this book, my friend gave it to me, I am already done with this book?
Who said that?
If someone you have...
No, who specifically are you thinking of? If you're thinking of a profile.
We went to a community.
Are you thinking of an Indian?
Yes.
Okay, Indians are different. This presentation today was not for Indians. This is not an Indian presentation. And I'm going to teach you in about 60 seconds how to present to Indians. It's different. It's completely different. Let's say, when I meet an Indian, you know, you make the same conscious contact, you know. I'm from California, where are you from? Gujarat, camp show. You know, it's like fantastic. I love Gujarat. Wonderful. I'm not handing them anything. If I hand a Gujarati a Bhagavad Gita, it's an insult, practically. What I do is when I meet them, I say, I'm so happy to meet you. And here's what we're doing out here. You already know all this. In fact, you know Bhagavad Gita. Your mother knows Bhagavad Gita. Your grandmother memorized Bhagavad Gita. That's just what they were about to tell me. But I tell them first. And then I say, what we're doing is something you already know about. Because that's their hurdle. We're doing something you already know about. We're taking Krishna's message to the world, to people who have never heard it before. You already know it. But we're taking the people in China and Japan and Russia and all over America. We're starting schools to teach Bhagavad Gita, and we're putting millions of copies of Bhagavad Gita's into hotels, hospitals, into the military, all over the world. So what we're doing out here is a fundraiser, and we just ask for money. Very clear and simple. You hand it to them very straightforwardly. Tell them that we're spreading Bhagavad Gita. You already know it. You're the expert. You know more than me. And all we want from you is money, and a lot of money. And they understand that completely, and they'll be so enthusiastic to give money, and a big donation too, to facilitate you giving to all other people. Because Indians already know Bhagavad Gita. So that's what I found is the best approach for Indians. Hold back on handing them anything. Don't be condescending. Treat them as the expert because they already do know. They know Bhagavad Gita. They're from Bhartvarsha, for heaven's sake. And then tell them that you need their money, you need their help, and they'll be happy to help you. The other way is to show the Bhagavad Gita and say, you know Bhagavad Gita, everything like that. And this is a special commentary. It has Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, Shankaracharya. All the great commentators come through the pen of Srila Prabhupada that's showing this, and so it's a special Gita. That one I don't use as much. Okay? Two more questions? Okay, so, yes?
Some of the Gitas have different pictures. So we're practicing with this one.
Yeah.
Like that Gita there, I don't think it has the same pictures as, you know, the changing body.
You don't have to worry about it today because we're taking this out. But if you have a different Gita, then you can slightly adjust the script according to the pictures.
Okay.
Yeah, slightly adjust the script. The script I gave you today is specifically applicable to this Gita, but if you bring another Gita, if you have another Gita, then you have to slightly adjust the script. But I'm just giving you a template today for this Gita that you can learn and feel confidence. Once you have confidence, then you can innovate whatever Gita you're selling and you can adjust it in that way. Because once you see this works, that you have a structure and you present, and you'll see how nice people are. People really are nice and they really are interested. And if you have a semblance of a good presentation to give them that's like even slightly organized, then they'll just take it and they'll give you a donation. Then you'll think, oh, I can do this over and over again. And I can do it with any book in any Gita. Okay? Yeah.
One more. Someone is like very strong religious consciousness. I'm Catholic, I'm Muslim, something like that.
We love Catholics. We love Muslims. We love everybody. And if somebody says, I'm a Muslim, then you say, that's fantastic. It's people of faith like you that are keeping the world afloat. If there were more people like you in the world, it would be a better place to live. Repeat after me. That's fantastic. It's people of faith like you that are keeping the world afloat. If there were more people like you in the world,
would be a better world to live in.
Just
appreciate them right away when they tell you what they're thinking. And if you hand somebody a Bhagavad Gita and they say, I can't take them, I'm a Catholic, I'm a Buddhist, I'm a Muslim, take the book back and honor their objection. Oh, you're a Catholic. Okay, here. And then give them the Catholic book. Which is the Catholic book?
Any other book
besides the one you just gave them. If they hand it back, they say they're a Muslim, you give them the Muslim book. Which is the Muslim book?
Any other book
besides the one you just gave them is the Muslim book. And just give them the next one. Honor their objection. So, there's a lot more to be said. I cut to the practical side. I usually do it the other way, but because of time, because I want to go out with Nimai today, because he's leaving tonight, and I want to make sure to go out and get some reps with Nimai before he heads off for Radhadesh tonight. And there's other aspects to the reasons why we're distributing books and so forth that are very compelling. But I saved those and I gave the practical parts so we have a little confidence just to go out today. And I'll just reiterate, we're not going out to sell books today. We're going out to test, to feel what it's like to go outside our comfort zone. That's all you have to do today, is feel what it's like to go outside your comfort zone, because it's good for spiritual life. When you go outside the door, you're going to feel in your heart, like, what am I going to do now? And what's going to happen when I get out there? I'll feel like that too, and I've been doing this for 45 years. And that's why I like it. I like to live in that zone where I don't know what's going to happen next. So I have to wonder, Krishna, how are you going to make this happen now? I've seen it happen a million times, but I don't know if it's going to happen this time. But I do know it's going to happen, because I just don't know how it's going to happen, but Krishna's going to make it happen. And if you live in that zone, even if you don't distribute any books, then you're in a very good zone for making advancement in spiritual life. And that's where you want to live. Don't get comfortable. Don't go back home because your mom's calling you to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Tell her to make her own peanut butter and jelly sandwich, because you're busy going on Sankirtan. Okay? Okay. Thank you very much. So the logistics are the most difficult part. Yes? Four or five people?
Uh-huh.
Meaning in a group or all at once?
During the day, now one comes and that person says, I would like to have a book, but I don't have money.
If someone walks up to you and says, I'd like to have a book, I don't have any money, then I will personally pay for that book today. Because I don't think that will happen. I think that people will give you a donation for the books. And if I'm not around, just distribute the book and let me know about it later. Okay? Let them have the book. Yeah. Just make sure it's a nice home that it's going to. If a person appreciates it but really doesn't have any money, which is a rare bird, then let them have the book. But it has a rare bird. Okay, so... Reflection, yeah?
Yeah. I just want to say the power of high. Where I walk to the metro right now is very down through India. So, and the people who come there are people who have gone through many, many difficulties. So their face is already very grim and stiff and with all the difficulties. But the moment I say hi, the entire face changes. It's like the smile comes out. And so the power of hi, I saw that in person. It's just amazing.
I like that, the power of hi.
Yeah,
because, not many people actually just get somebody just walking up to them saying hi for no reason. It's... People live in isolation, even though we're in a crowd. People are isolated and they need a little touch, a little spiritual touch. They really feel it when we go out and we make friends with them and we're there just to do... We're going as messengers. We're passing on a message that's been bequeathed to us. So we're just going to give it to them and the soul will feel it. So thank you for bringing that up. Okay, repeat after me. Book distribution.
Book distribution
is fun and easy.
It's fun and easy.
Haribo.
Haribo.
Okay, so how we get down
to? We need 5 or 6 people to volunteer to take devotees there. So who would like to volunteer their car? Right now, just start.
See, if it's not volunteer, then you have to commandeer their car.
Okay.
So, Maharaj, one moment. If we don't have the Hare Krishna mantra cards. the mantra is available on the second page of the...
Page 2?
Yeah.
Okay, if you don't have a Hare Krishna mantra card, there's a Ma mantra on page 2, just in case you're stranded somewhere and you don't have one. Page 2. Vancha kalpa durvishya kripa sindhavivacha patitanam patadibhyo vaishnavibhyo
marman natari armarman natari armarman natari armarman hey natari armarman natari armarman natari armarman natari armarman.